I'm Shruti.
And I'm Harper.
And you're listening to The Disabled Standard,
where we talk about our experiences as disabled people and the topics that matter to us.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to The Disabled Standard.
Welcome back, everyone.
Yay, we made it. I say that every day.
We do. I know. I was thinking about that the other day. I was like, we start every episode by being like, whoa, we can't believe we made it this far. Episode 4. Like, wow.
We're just taking it one episode at a time, one day at a time. It's the disabled standard.
We're celebrating every accomplishment, every little thing. I think that's a good thing.
Exactly. We love it.
And now we can be like, wow, we're only one episode away from the end of the season. Like, this is our penultimate episode this season.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Oh, amazing. And we have a great one today. Disability in fiction. Is it disability and fiction or disability in fiction? I don't really know what we call this one.
I don't know either, because it's like we're talking about fiction, but we're also talking about like more being a fiction writer. Like, we're not super having like another media conversation, but we kind of are, but we're kind of not. Disability, writing, fiction, living, all that.
All of the above.
Yeah. Publishing, the whole thing.
Yes. Amazing.
Well, I hope it's a good episode. So
I am sure it will be. This is the Harper episode. We went from the Shruti episode to now the Harper episode. So I'm going to pass it over to you.
Take the stage, the metaphorical stage. I will kind of, like Shruti did last week, sort of give my overview of where I've been and where I'm at and where I hope to go as a writer. I feel like I don't talk much about being a writer on the podcast, which, you know, we might be able to unpack why during this conversation. But I definitely am a writer. And I know I've mentioned that in some capacity here. And I'm a fiction writer, a novelist specifically. Very bad at short form content, very good at long form content. You have to know your strengths and weaknesses, everybody. So I'm like a novelist, a writer, and I just like, I always have been. Like, I'm just one of those people who like stories and writing has just always been a part of my life. Like, all of my like early childhood like memories and, you know, just everything is me making up stories and making my parents like dictate poetry and like just anything you can imagine with like stories and creativity. Like, that was me, and that's just how I saw the world, and how I still see the world is through stories. And the thing that's complicated about all of this is that, you know, at a certain point stories turn into reading. You know, it doesn't just always stay like coming up with them in your head and like having conversations with people about stories. It becomes like, oh, let's read a book. And also let's write a book. And I'm dyslexic. And so there's always been like a tension there that, I'll be honest, still processing through, still complicated. I think I have a lot of repressed like memories and trauma about reading and writing and all of this stuff, because it was just not pretty. It was not easy. It was really difficult for me. I was diagnosed in third grade. And so I didn't have like a long, long period of time in retrospect of like struggling to read and write and not knowing why, but there certainly was that time. And my identity as a writer and a dyslexic have always been very tied together, because the first time I was like ever called a writer was the same day that I got my like diagnosis with dyslexia, which is just like a wild story that I like was first called these things on the same day. And, you know, thinking about that experience of like writing a poem in my third grade class, like I was struggling so hard to spell the words in that poem, and I was so frustrated, but then I was so proud that I found a way to still create the stuff I wanted to create. And that's kind of been my whole like journey as a writer, is like, I'm gonna do this, but it's gonna have to look different, and I might have to take different avenues, and it might take me longer, and it might get frustrating, but I love this, and so I'm gonna do it. But that hasn't always been easy. You know, when I switched to my specialized like learning disability school, the culture there was just so like not reading and writing. It wasn't like they were like anti-reading, anti-writing, because like obviously they were teaching us how to do those things. But like, I think in an effort to make us feel like it was okay if we weren't good at those like skills, it was like, okay, yeah, no, you don't have to read. You don't have to do that. That's totally fine. And like the culture was just that like, we don't engage with that kind of stuff. And so I think that that really like pushed to the side my like development as a reader and a writer at a really young age. And like, I just didn't grow up reading books. Like, I just, that was not my experience as a kid, which is like hard now to be like all of my peers in this industry are like, you know, I've been reading like 50 books a year since I was 3. And I'm like, that's not my experience at all. That was an exaggeration a bit, but not that much of an exaggeration. Anyways, so like I said, I had this very back and forth relationship with writing for a long time. And, you know, it intersects with all of my identities, not just dyslexia. And, you know, there's certainly been times in my life where I've kind of separated myself from writing more and times where I've like dove into it more. And, you know, some of those times that I've really gotten into it have been like when I was in high school and I decided to start doing NaNoWriMo, which is like National Novel Writing Month. Every November, you like write a novel in a month, which is like, whoa, but honestly, like really fun. And I've like, I did that like 6 years or so, and really enjoyed it. It really got me like writing, because for the longest time, my writing was like all in my head and I didn't actually put anything on the page because I just didn't know how, and I didn't know that I could know how. But NaNoWriMo got me like doing that and writing and creating. And then this led me to being like, oh, okay, so like I can actually do this, you know, like I can go to college and get a creative writing degree and like be a writer. Like I've always known I wanted to do that, but this was the turning point of like, okay, this is possible. And so that's what made me like want to go to Emerson and apply to schools like Emerson. And that's how I ended up there, you know, going after my BFA in creative writing. And this is one of those times where my life turned away from writing, because starting in the BFA program was really difficult in a lot of ways that, again, still processing through. And I think that it's only been within the last year or so that I've really been able to like own this. Like I've even had conversations with people of like, you know, talking about things that happened to me and things that I experienced and I was feeling, and then being like, but you never brought it up at the time. And it's like, yeah, because I was like scared and like maybe kind of ashamed and like just, I didn't know what to do and I didn't even know what I was feeling, you know? Because again, this is a writing and reading thing. Like taking all those literature classes was like nearly impossible for me. Like that was so difficult. And I was not getting the like support I needed in terms of, you know, access to audiobooks and, you know, just general accommodation and like seeing me as a dyslexic person in those spaces. And, you know, it was really difficult to feel like I belonged because I couldn't engage with the material. I couldn't participate in the things I wanted to participate in. I never joined any like publishing or writing related organizations. I never got a short story published in a lit mag. Like I just never did any of this stuff. I never gelled with my like writing peers. It just wasn't possible for me because I felt so on the outside of everything. And then when I got into my first creative writing workshop, the second semester of my freshman year, like ridicule seems like too strong of a word, but like I felt like I was ridiculed for being dyslexic in that space in some ways, because, you know, I was so excited to turn in my first short story in that class and like, you know, have it be messy and make mistakes. Like as a writer, that's what you're supposed to do in workshop. You're not supposed to turn in perfect short stories in like any way. And like I was so excited to get feedback and, you know, just do the whole thing as a writer in that space. And, you know, I did get like some good feedback, but I also got people like calling out my spelling mistakes as if that was the same thing as like making a bad character development decision or something. And they would do these like really weird things where they would say like, yeah, and she can't even spell gonna correctly. So like, of course she has problems with pacing. And I'm like, excuse me, those things are not related. And like, we shouldn't be judging things based off spelling errors and grammatical errors. And the funny thing is like that stuff stuck in my head for so long. And I just had this like overwhelming sense of, okay, like I have to scrub like every amount of dyslexia off of anything before I ever turn it in, like both in writing classes and in like other classes where you're turning in essays and things like that, but especially with writing, because in the real world, like the agents and the editors, like they're not going to tolerate misspelled words. And then like last week I was like looking for literary agents, because spoiler alert, that's where we are now. And like literally someone had on their like query manager, like submission form, like, it's okay if you have spelling and grammar mistakes. Like, I'm not going to dock you for that, because like, I want to read your story and see that potential. Like, I don't care if there's some of that in there. And I was like, oh, okay. So like, I didn't need to worry about this, because in the real world, quote unquote, like people will be supportive. And if they're not, I don't want to work with them, because that's not going to be good for anyone. So long story short, I, you know, worked really hard to get back to a point where I could feel comfortable as a writer, because after that, like, first year or two in the creative writing program, I ended up switching out. Like, I think I've talked about my major on here before, where I changed it to be creative writing and disability studies. So I was in less like literature classes and, you know, less writing classes, but certainly still doing them, and still facing weird prejudices, like the time that my fiction writing professor told me not to write about autistic characters because I am autistic. I don't even know, man. Like, some of this stuff makes zero sense to me even still. But I worked really hard, like I said, to get back to a point where I felt in control of my writing and happy about what I was doing. And all of that really happened outside of the classroom. Fan fiction is great, like, was a huge part of my journey in a way I was not expecting. And now I'm at a point where I've been working on my novel for like 2.5, more than that, almost 3 years. It'll be 3 years in October that I've been working on this project. And like I said, I'm at a point now where I'm looking at literary agents. Like, I'm very close to being able to like actually start pursuing traditional publishing, which has always been my goal. There's a lot of ways to be a writer, a lot of ways to create fiction and all that kind of stuff. But for me, like, traditional publishing has always been the goal, and it's where I want to start, you know, at least. And so it's really exciting to think about, like, oh, wow, I actually am here and I can keep pursuing this and trying to make this happen and be a writer. And I've made a lot of decisions in my life over the past year, or really past like 6 months, if we're being even more honest, to focus my life on writing again, because I'd gotten away from that. And so now I have a blog, and like, I'm working as a like a literary research assistant and kind of writer's assistant for a local author. And like I said, working on this novel, like today, full day of working on my book, which was just great. And I feel like this podcast is like still kind of in the writing space of like, I'm creating, I'm putting stuff out there, and I'm talking about my authentic experiences, which is scary sometimes. Like, it feels weird to get on here and talk about like my fears as someone trying to go into the publishing industry. Like, I don't read. I mean, I read some and I try to, but it's really difficult for me. And like, not even just because reading is difficult, because I listen to audiobooks and like, I know that's reading and it counts and I will defend that to the day I die. But I'm also like, I'm very traumatized when it comes to reading and engaging with this medium. And so even the times when I want to read and I have something that's accessible to read, it's still really challenging. And that feels like a major setback in terms of like being a writer in a way that I hadn't expected. And so there's things like that that are really hard to talk about. And I'm like, I still get scared that it's gonna come back and like bite me in the butt and like make it hard for me to, you know, succeed and achieve the things I want to. But at the end of the day, like, I know that I'm a writer, and like, my perspective as a disabled writer who writes about disability, mind you, like, I genuinely do, all my characters are disabled. It's very fun. I enjoy it. I know my perspective is valuable, and I know that like, I have what it takes to be a writer. I've been doing this for like over 10 years. I've persevered through a lot. Like, I've always come back to this, even when I've had every reason to not come back to this, because there are plenty of careers that, you know, are not in direct like conflict with my disabilities. There are plenty of careers that are going to be like easier to make money in. And like, I can't do that because this is who I am, and this is the stuff that I want to be working on and putting out into the world. And so I'm going to do that, and I'm going to keep going, and we're going to see what happens, because I certainly feel like we're at the beginning of hopefully a lot, but I don't know, there's a lot of question marks still. But you know, it's not easy necessarily being a disabled writer, being a dyslexic writer specifically, but you know, I wouldn't trade it for the world, I guess. Like, I guess I wouldn't. It's who I am, and it's what I'm doing here on this planet, so that's me.
Oh, I love that. That was such a cute way to end it. That's
me. I was like, how do I end this? And I was also like, I'm so out of breath.
No, same. That was me last week. I was like, for like 20 minutes. Yeah. Oh my gosh. No, I'm so glad that I got to hear that from you, because like, I was, as you were talking, I realized like, I've known you for a couple years now, but like your experience, I mostly know about, you know, your experience being autistic rather than, I honestly didn't know that much about your experience with dyslexia and ADHD, even though I knew that it played such a big role in your writing and you as a writer. So it was really great just to hear that. And I appreciate the vulnerability, because I know it probably wasn't easy to talk about that even when you're still processing all of it. Yeah. Ooh, so many comments, so many questions. Yeah.
Well, first of all, thank you, because I really appreciate it. Like, you know, I appreciate you appreciating the vulnerability, because I know we were talking before we started recording about how I am still processing through so much, and I feel like I'm like in the middle of it. But mm-hmm. I feel like that's kind of cool to be able to talk about it in the middle of it, because it's like, yeah, I'm not wrapping it up in a nice little bow. Here's how I got to happiness. Like, I'm still in the middle of all of this. And, you know, and I think that, you know, for like 10 years of my life, I really was so focused on autism, because it was like 5 years leading up to my diagnosis, like really struggling to like figure stuff out. And like the 5 years after it, like putting everything in place and learning how to like advocate for myself. And, you know, I've gotten to a point now where, you know, it's obviously like still stuff to figure out in terms of autism, but I have more space in my life to look at other things. And one of those things that's majorly coming to the surface is like dyslexia and that kind of trauma and stuff there, and how I work to integrate dyslexia into my life in like a good and healthy way. So, you know, lots of fun work to do. Yay.
Yay. We love it. Yeah. Oh my gosh. You said like so many very interesting things. And I mean, first of all, like when you were talking about, you know, how spelling, like there's such a value placed on spelling when it comes to writing. I feel like, I mean, I was definitely connecting that to also journalism, because we're mm-hmm. constantly told like, don't submit, first of all, a cover letter, but then also don't submit an article with any spelling mistakes. And I'm like, no, like that's so, it's not inclusive to dyslexic writers or anybody in general. Like, even if it's like a typo, like that's not fair, you know, to just like toss it out. And when we're talking about like content creating, like, I mean, the writing serves a purpose. So what if there's a spelling error? Like, just, you're an editor, go in and make the edit. Right? Like, why yeah. do you want to shorten your job? Like, also copy editors exist. Like, it's a whole thing. There's so many processes, and it's like, why is it all falling on the writer? Why is there so much pressure? And I appreciate you also bringing up, you know, like how, I mean, it's horrible that people were, you know, saying like, you know, making judgments about you because of spelling errors that you have. And like, I feel like there's so much of that is rooted in like this idea that like, you know, there's this link between like being able to spell and speak articulately and all of that to like intelligence and competence. And it's like, no, those are not, it's not it. Like, let's not do that. So yeah, no, so many good points. You know, one thing that you were bringing up is, you know, you mentioned like when you were in school, you know, it really reminds me how like, you know, disabled people, what they want really isn't put in the center, you know, because it's like, sure, if that's like what works for you, you don't want to engage, totally fine, go for it. But like to just automatically make that assumption without checking in and being like, what do you want? How do you want to work towards your goals with your disability? And, you know, how can we support you and give you the resources to get you there? That's what should be centered, but it's not often centered. So, you know, I guess in looking at all of this, you know, as a writer, are there any specific tools and resources or like ways that you go about writing that kind of works for you, whether that's like taking more time or like, you know, the environment that you're in, you know, just to make sure that you are in a environment that feels supportive to you and you as a dyslexic writer?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. And I think that like this question especially does overlap a lot with like autism stuff, because like when I'm thinking about my environment, like being in a like a very quiet space and a space where I can truly like be alone is really important. And like, you know, I can't really write in a coffee shop very well. Like there's just too much stimulation, too much going on. Like I do best when I'm just like sitting on my couch by myself, you know. And I use a lot of like music as a tool to connect with like the story and the characters and even like the scene that I'm writing, which I think is probably a combination of both like autism and dyslexia, of like my entry point into these stories is something other than like just written text, you know. And like obviously like writers with all different types of identities and backgrounds like utilize like, you know, pictures or music and stuff like that, but for me, like it definitely is something that's related to my disabilities. And then yeah, like I think giving myself grace like is one of the best things that I can do, which is like not always easy, but yeah, allowing myself to, you know, take more time than sometimes I feel like I should be taking. You know, there's this like saying with writing that like you know, if you think something's going to take you like 2 weeks to do, it's actually going to take you 4 weeks. Like it's going to double, you know? And for me, I'm like, okay, maybe it'll, you know, take 6 weeks instead. Which is like fine, you know, because writing is writing and you just do it and you figure it out. And my favorite thing about writing is that it's not like live theater. Like you get to make as many mistakes as humanly possible and then fix them. Like writing is actually about like fixing mistakes, not about like never making them. And so like realizing that was a total game changer for me. Like one of the big reasons that I like didn't actually write any prose until like my freshman year of high school was because I was like terrified that if I wrote things it would all be wrong and I could never fix it, you know. And then when I realized that that was not the case, like it just opened up so much for me. And so, you know, allowing myself to make mistakes and knowing that like there will be space to fix it later and that at some point there will be other people on the team. Like right now it's just me, and that's been really important because like I said, once I got my writing to be just like a me thing outside of like fiction writing workshops and stuff like that, things got better because those people were not like willing to support me in the ways that I needed. And also like, you know, to give them one, you know, bit of grace. Like I didn't have every tool I needed to advocate for myself as a dyslexic writer at the time. But regardless, like it wasn't working, you know? And now like I do have more tools and I can be more picky, and the people who, you know, I need to work with, like we will find each other, you know, and we'll be able to make good stuff together. So I feel like those are most of the things that I do. Like I said, grace is important, and just like letting myself be dyslexic, just like that acknowledgement in my head of like, yeah, I'm a dyslexic writer, like do it, like that's cool, like what way to be like a Paralympian, you know? Like I have to like gas myself up like that and be like, yeah, no, I'm like a blind swimmer, this is cool.
Hell yeah. Yes, oh my gosh, no, I love that. And I guess my only like other question aside from that, when you were talking about, you know, like writing disabled characters, first of all, that reminded me of also in journalism about how like, you know, they say like, you know, the whole advocate versus journalist kind of thing of like, you can only be so close to a story, you can't be like super, super close to it. And it's like, well, if you're a part of that community and you're reporting on it, then shouldn't that be okay? Like you would think, right? But it's, yeah, it's a mess. But, you know, this is something that like, I've definitely seen with, you know, other people in other marginalized communities, particularly, you know, communities of color, of like, who is allowed to write what stories. And honestly, I haven't really delved into that, you know, within these conversations. So I'd just be curious to hear from you as a disabled person, like, where do you think people lie in this? Like, obviously we need disabled writers writing disabled characters that are authentic because they understand the experience. And, you know, but also like disabled writers don't have to do that, you know, only if they want to. And also like, you know, should non-disabled people write disabled characters? Is this something that they should be doing? Is there a correct way to go about it, et cetera?
Oh man, I have so many thoughts and feelings and opinions. And, you know, I think some of the stuff you were saying and like the lead up to the question is like very similar to that experience I mentioned where my professor was like, you're autistic, so you shouldn't be writing autistic characters. Because like her argument was basically that like, you know, writing is to expand your worldview and like experience things other than your own identities. So like you should be writing outside of your own experience, like for your own sake, which is like, okay, like, sure. Like if you want to like learn and explore, cool. But also like, it doesn't quite work like that. Like by that logic, like every single book about a Black person should be written by a white person, which is like, whoa, like you would never say that. Like, I don't know, man. I just think it's very interesting how people, you know, view writing and fiction sometimes like as something that is like truly just for like escapism. And like, certainly it can be, but I think we have to be very conscientious about, you know, the ways that we're using fiction and the ways that we're representing different marginalized groups and identities and cultures and people. You know, we had some conversations about like authentic casting in our like TV media episode, and like authentic authorship, you know, is like a very similar thing. And it's like, it's really important to me. Like I really care about this issue. And you know, the same reasons that authentic casting is impactful is the same reason that like authentic like authorship is. Like if I'm trying to find a book about a disabled character and I see that it's written by an actually disabled person, I'm like, oh my God, okay, so I can do this. Like I can actually get where I'm trying to go. And I know that this book is actually going to ring true and make me feel like good and not make me be like questioning everything at every page and like waiting for that like other shoe to drop. Because there definitely is a way for non-disabled writers to write about disability, and like, you know, ultimately you do want people to understand disability and be respectful enough of it to be able to do that. But I think there's also a difference between like writing about it to like learn and explore and, you know, just hone your craft, and like publishing and profiting off of it. But certainly like if you're a writer or any creator of any kind and you want to write outside of your experience, like do the research, you know, the same way that if you wanted to write about a hospital and you weren't a doctor, you would do research. Do that about like deafness or blindness or autism or whatever it is. Look to the people who can, you know, provide that authentic experience and ask yourself, why am I the right person to write the story that's outside of my POV? And then think about, okay, what POVs do I have that I can tell stories through? And there's, you know, nothing that says like you can't do whatever you want, but you have to remember that your words and your actions have impacts, and like hopefully you want them to be good impacts. I feel like that is like not all the elements of the question, because I feel like it's such a great multi-part question. Were there more elements to that question?
I think you answered it. I mean, it's, you know, who can write what and what do they have to do in order to do that? Mm-hmm. So I think you really captured it, unless there was something else you wanted to add. Yeah.
I mean, I will say, like, as a disabled writer trying to write disabled characters, like, you know, there's even still like work and research that I have to do. Like one of the things that I think a lot about is like, okay, I have like very easy, like quote unquote, write about autism, dyslexia, ADHD, the stuff that I have. And then like one removed from that is things that I don't have experience with, but are disabilities. Like one of my protagonists right now is deaf. And I'm like, okay, I'm not deaf, but I have way more ability to understand that because I am disabled in some ways, and I have more access to the deaf community, and I've had more experience being educated about that, and I know how to continue to educate myself. And so there's definitely, it's a gray space, and there's a lot to consider. And I think even when it comes to writing about identities that you have, like my first two beta readers were both autistic. I was like, yeah, good, because we're all different and you need sensitivity readers, you need people to weigh in like beyond just yourself, you know. And it's also like we've talked about a million times, you're not born out of the womb with a perfect understanding of disability and all this kind of stuff, and like disabled people can still perpetuate ableism and like harm in terms of the way that they, you know, could write disability and talk about these things. And like I've had some experiences where like other disabled people have not liked the way that I've written about disability, and like I was like young and in the very beginning of this part of my like journey as a writer. And it's like, we all have to learn and grow. And like, that's what writing is about ultimately, is like learning and growing and improving every time. Like I said, it's not about never making mistakes, but it's about fixing them. And like, if that's not like the way that the whole world should be, I don't know what is.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree that like, you know, there are, like you said, disabled people who maybe wouldn't agree with the way that you write and vice versa. And yeah, exactly. We're not a monolith. And it feels like it comes down to like having a dialogue about disability in writing, which like I don't see a lot of often. Like it's really covered up in there. So
yeah, well, the other thing I'll say is that, you know, I think one of the differences in how disabled writers like to write about disability and the different opinions we have about disability, like in story, I think it comes back to something you said in your original question about like, you know, the fact that disabled writers, like we don't have to write about disability, you know, like, and we don't have to make disability like a huge deal even when we're writing disabled characters. Like we don't have to write about ableism or trauma or like any of that kind of stuff. And this is like really a part of this whole movement that you see, especially with books, but like it's everything, it's film and TV, but sort of this idea that like, you know, marginalized writers and storytellers like don't have to like only write about oppression, you know, because so much of what we do see like with BIPOC books, queer books, disabled books, like all that kind of stuff is a lot about oppression and, you know, different types of traumas and things that have happened to these marginalized characters. And like, it doesn't have to be like that. Like it definitely shouldn't be that that's the only stuff we can find about marginalized characters, because like what does that do if your representation is all like purely pain and like negative stuff and, you know, people being hurt and sad and never getting a happy ending? Like obviously, like that's not the representation we want. But I think it's also to remember that we also don't want like
the total opposite of that, because I think, like, of course it's really important to have stories about like disabled joy and like happy endings for disabled characters, and also like disabled characters just being disabled, like without it being like the only thing about them or a huge deal. But like, we can't go to the complete other extreme, because like, if you have a disabled character, that's going to impact their life and their story. So like, even if their disability is fading into the background, it's just like a normal part of the human experience, or like a normal part of your fantasy world or whatever. Like, the disability, it can't disappear, like it can't totally go away and just become nothing. Like, it has to be present, it has to make an impact, or else what's the point of having it there? Like, that's not really representation either. And I think it's also important to remember that like, the same spirit of disabled writers don't have to write about ableism should be applied to disabled writers can write about ableism. Because like, you know, when we write stories that are explicitly about disability and our experiences, like, that's both positive and negative. Like, that's the whole spectrum of human experience and emotion. Like, that's the disability pride stuff that we talked about like a few episodes ago, you know? And so like, there's a place for stories that hold all of that, like the trauma, the joy, the healing, the pain, the community, the loneliness, like all of the levels of disability. And like, you know, these are stories about like what it's like to live in the world that we're in. And those are the stories that I gravitate towards, like as a writer, because, you know, you'll see people talking about the idea of like writing stories and these kind of like utopias where different types of oppression like don't exist. And I certainly think that like shows like Schitt's Creek that do that, like there's a place for them, absolutely, but also like, you know, that can be really difficult to do. And, you know, stories like that, you know, existing in a world without oppression, like those can be kind of harmful if you don't handle it right, you know? And like I said, I'm just drawn to stories and telling stories about what it is like to live in the world that we're in. Like, that's my niche and my place, like, as a writer, you know, because I can't write an authentic story about, like, disability and my disabled experience without ableism, without trauma healing, without exploring the depths of disability and, like, going through, you know, different conflicts that are directly related to my disability. There's other stuff, too, but, like, disability is at the forefront of everything I write about, and like, ableism is going to be a part of that. Like, I wish it didn't have to be, but it is, because that's my life and that's my experience. And so like, that's what I write about, and I want that to like be normalized and be like a part of the landscape that we see of disabled stories and disabled books. And, you know, I think that also, like, just to give some credit and some grace to all of this, like, I think when people are talking about not having books that are like solely focused on oppression, they're kind of more talking about trauma porn, which is those stories that like make light of pain, and, you know, the marginalized characters aren't treated with any dignity or care, and the stories don't leave room for any of the positive, like healing, joy kind of stuff. And they're really more for like evoking pity or profit or like inspiration, to bring inspiration porn back into it. And those stories are probably not really the ones being written with authentic authorship, you know? So all that being said, I think it's important to remember that like, every writer does have the prerogative to write out whatever they want, you know, and like, you can do your thing, you know, but also like I've said before, remember the impact of it. And we all need to be cognizant of that, like, including people who work in the publishing industry. Like, this is not just a thing for writers to think about, you know, because sometimes you'll hear like the people who work in media industries, like publishing or TV, like those professionals as like the gatekeepers of media. And like, gatekeeping can be good and bad. Like, you can use that force in either direction, because like, I do think it's the responsibility of people in the publishing industry to like make sure that they're like, quote unquote, gatekeeping out like the harmful books, the books being written with bad intentions, you know, and to make sure that the ones that do get through are the, you know, the authentic books, the books that are written with care and, you know, research and representation in mind, and, you know, supporting, you know, queer writers, disabled writers, writers of color, and, you know, making sure that we do get published, because it's difficult to get published as a marginalized person. Like, just, of course it is. The marginalization, it's in the word. And like I said, I think it's the responsibility of people who work in publishing to make sure that we get supported as we, you know, continue to work and strive and be a part of this industry. So that was kind of a lot, but the question was kind of a lot. So that's my whole spiel.
That definitely is very important. So one other thing that I wanted to kind of jump back to, you know, you were talking a lot about, you know, being in the BFA program and, you know, at Emerson and how, you know, there were some not so great experiences in there. And I was just wondering if there were any positive ones, any good ones, you know, maybe professors that you've met that really helped you or mentored you in any way and supported you in your journey as a dyslexic writer, or maybe peers who have helped in that sense, you know, because obviously you've come a long way in those 4 years and even now years afterwards. So I guess, you know, who along that journey has helped you?
Yeah, I mean, I wish I had more, but I certainly have had some. I mean, you know, I had the same professor for my first two workshops, like, you know, 200 and 300 level workshops. And, you know, there were some really good and really bad moments with this professor, especially because like workshops are so variable depending on like who's in them. But in that actually like first class, the same one I was talking about earlier, I actually wrote a short story about like my sensory processing experiences and was extremely well received by not only the professor, but people in the class. And so that was a very validating moment of like, okay, so there's a way that I can actually do this and write about disability and like make an impact on people. And I got some really, really nice comments. And like my professor remembered the short story like a year later when like I was in his class again, which is like, these people read so many short stories, you know, you don't remember them, you know? So that was cool. And then I think, you know, my senior year, I did the sort of like creative writing like BFA thesis, and you know, it's a very odd class because it's so independent, but we had sort of an advisor that we'd meet with every like 2 weeks. And you know, I was working on the novel that I still am, like taking that to that, you know, class, and that professor was the only one who ever like supported me like in terms of being a dyslexic and disabled writer and wanting to write about disability. Like the second she heard like my elevator pitch of who I am as a writer, she was like, oh, like that's good, that's cool, like that's a niche that could like get you somewhere. Which is like, I know last week I'd asked you that question of like, do you feel like you're in like journalism at a good time to be disabled? And like, I certainly feel like I am, like as a disabled writer and like in fiction, because I think we're coming upon the horizon. Like my parents asked me this a few weeks ago of like, do you think that like, you know, like disabled books are going to get to where like LGBT books are now? And I'm like, yeah, maybe in like 5 to 10 years. And I feel like I'm in a good place to like be a part of that. And like, there's just more and more disabled books. And the fact that my like professor was able to recognize that and see this as like a positive thing was like really cool. And she like never brought up any like spelling or grammatical things in my work. She focused on like the content and the writing, which is what you're supposed to do. So that's great, you know. And I've had, you know, I took like a poetry class and like a couple of more like screenwriting, TV writing classes that were sort of outside of my like fiction bubble. And those were so much better, like, you know, just so much more like acceptance and just like casualness of like, just write your stuff and it is what it is and we'll work on it together. And so that was very nice to just have those experiences scattered throughout my like fiction writing stuff. And, you know, I certainly had like my like college best friend who was in some of these classes with me, and you know, they were very supportive, and you know, so I had some people, but I wish I could have walked out of there with more connections, with more like author friends and people that I can, you know, share work with and like, you know, be a part of a writing community. And like, you know, I don't really feel like I have any like actual mentors in terms of this stuff, you know. I mean, I have a few people that if I needed to like reach out to, I would. I actually took a book publishing class, which was one of the best ones I ever did and one of the most like helpful classes. And the professor was really sweet and understanding and like supportive of me as a disabled person. Like I did my project about audiobooks in that class. Like, so there certainly have been some good experiences, but the bad ones just feel so heavy and like outweigh them so much. But it is good to think through and like hold space for both sides.
Yeah, I wish you had better experiences. I feel like, Emerson, it's a time and a half there.
Well, and the thing is, I don't even think it's necessarily Emerson. Like, I feel like true. I would have had very similar experiences at other places, you know, like, mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, I am actually really glad that I went to Emerson and did get, you know, the experiences that I had. And then also like, you know, I've been looking for literary agents, right? Which is like, you throw spaghetti against the wall, you query like 100, 200 people, and like all you need is one, right? Like that's the premise. So I'm making this giant spreadsheet of literary agents and, you know, basic info about them. And the number of times I've come across like Emerson people in this search is like really great, because I'm like, oh, okay, so like, cool, I have a nice, at least like good thing to show for it. Like, hey, I have connections. I went to a good reputable school for this kind of stuff. And like, I certainly did learn a lot as a writer there, you know, both in and out of the classroom. Like I would not be the writer I am today without my Emerson experience. And like, I don't regret it. I just wish that there had been like more positives. And then, like I said, I walked out of there with more connections or having done an internship or something like that, you know?
Yeah, no, that totally makes sense. Yeah. Oof. So much there.
Yeah.
So you know, you mentioned the, you know, landscape of fiction writing and publishing in regards to disability. And you had mentioned how there are disabled books out there, like books with disabled characters. So I was just curious if there were any in particular that sort of guided or shaped the way that you approach writing disabled characters, or just a book that you enjoyed that you felt did it right, or maybe did it horribly and you were like, oh my gosh, I'm not gonna do that. I know we're kind of like leaning into the whole disability in the media like topic that we did, but I feel like this is still relevant. So yeah, do you have any of those?
I know, it's definitely relevant. And again, I wish I did. Like I said before, like reading is really difficult for me, and like I really can't think of an example of like a book that, you know, like you said, has like shaped my writing as a disabled writer, you know, good representations that I've read in books. Like, you know, I think, and I've written about this on my blog, because I maybe I'll link this in our little podcast notes, because I wrote a recent blog post about being a dyslexic writer and, you know, some of the ways that that's affected my life and my writing. And like TV shows have been more impactful for me in terms of like story creation and like development as a writer and a storyteller than like books have, because that medium is way more accessible for me. And, you know, so when I read books, I'm reading more for like prose and getting, you know, into the writing stuff that you can't get from like a TV show, which, you know, of course is like really interesting, because I think that makes my writing like unique, because that's not necessarily the way everyone approaches this stuff. And also, you know, I would say that in some ways, like TV, I'm not saying that TV is ahead of like fiction around the whole situation of disability representation, but in some ways it is, especially in terms of like visibility, because I think that's the biggest difference between, you know, mediums like film and television is like, okay, maybe the quality of the rep is lower and maybe the like quantity even is when you really look at it, but it's much more visible and like people are talking about it more and it's much more like accessible for people to find and watch, as opposed to like disabled books that, you know, they're not the ones that go viral on BookTok. They're not the ones that get like, you know, big interviews in the New York Times and like the ones that get made into movies. Like they're out there. And like, even as a like disabled person and a disabled writer who writes about disability, like I know they're out there, but they're hard to find. And, you know, I don't know if I've ever really talked about this, but I think about this a lot of like, and maybe I did talk about this some in our media episode of how we need vastness when it comes to representation, not just because like disability is not a monolith, but also because like, you know, readers and viewers are not a monolith. Like until you can find like the niche that you love reading, like find your like cozy fantasy disabled rep and your like realistic fiction like middle school fantasy rep, or like, wait, realistic fiction middle school fantasy, that's too many things, that's not a thing. Or maybe it is, like, this is what I'm saying, like, you know, you might find a good book that has like great, you know, like chronic illness representation in it, but you're like, but I hate reading like romance books about middle-aged women, and you're like, okay, well, but where else am I going to find this rep? I feel like I'm not making sense, but I hope this is making sense of like, it's okay, it's making sense.
No, you're definitely making sense. Do not even worry about that.
Yeah. I just really like was just nodding her head like profusely there, and I was like, okay, I'm fine, because like I said, I think that, you know, I never want to like, you know, like diminish the rep that's out there, because it's great and it's important and like we need it, and I just think we need more of it, and we need such a big range of it. And, you know, I think for a long time I used to have this like kind of like mentality of like, oh well, okay, if there's already like one book out there about my identity or whatever, like then I don't need to write it because it's there. And it's like, no, because that book is only going to reach a certain number of people. And like, even if you write one that's the same genre, same disabilities, like it's going to reach a different group of people. That book might be 10 years old and now you're publishing one now. Like there's always a reason to share your voice, to put your work out there, to like use your experiences in your life. Like, so I'm telling this to myself and also every like writer or creator out there, like do it, like make your art, put it out there, and like don't let anything stop you.
Yeah, no, it completely made sense when you were talking about that. And even when you kept going, because like, again, to tie it back to journalism, because like, I feel like there's so much overlap. Like, yeah, like whenever I pitch a story, I'm always like, okay, well, I could look through the internet and see if, you know, other news outlets have covered this. And like, you know, in that case, should I not report on it if another news outlet did, or if the news outlet that I'm writing for has written on it just like a little bit, like a couple months ago or something like that. Like it's all still relevant and you can always make it different and new. It's not copying. And it's like, we need to have more representation. It's not like we should have like one in every category and that's it. And, you know, be like scraping the barrel for representation. Like we need so much more of it. And yeah, it can be so much better than that. So yeah, that definitely made sense.
Cool. Good.
Yeah. I guess like my only other question, I mean, you kind of answered it at the end with like, you know, advice that you would give people moving forward. But I guess, you know, yeah. What advice would you have for people moving forward? And also, you know, what do you hope to see in your career moving forward?
Yeah, no, good questions. Cause yeah, I think the basic advice is what I was saying before. It's like go for it and don't let anything stop you. Like, you know who you are and you know what you're doing, and what you're doing is important. Like, hear that. It matters. Your voice matters. Put your stuff out there and, you know, do whatever you have to do to make that happen. And if it looks different than what you think is normal or what other people's doing, like, good, because we need that. We need different approaches. We need new and creative and outside the box. We need underrepresented. We need the silenced voices to not be silenced anymore. And like, I know that it is an uphill battle climbing the mountain right now. And sometimes it feels even bigger than a mountain. Like sometimes I feel like I'm like flying a rocket ship through space, like without any like visibility. And I'm like running into planets and like, I don't even know where I'm going, but it's worth it because like I said, like earlier, like this is who I am and this is what I want to do. And if that's in the position, if you're in that position, just keep going. And, you know, I want to find other people who are going through this with me, you know, who are also disabled, dyslexic, going through the same kind of stuff. Like, you know, Shruti and I are very different writers and we also have different lived experiences, but we do have a lot of like parallels in the journeys that we've had and with how we're trying to like keep working in our fields and industries. And like that kind of stuff is really helpful. So find your community. And like I said, like, that's something I want for myself in the future of my career. I mean, I'd love to get a whole bunch of books published. Like, obviously, like, that's the cool big goal. You know, like I said, I'm working on hopefully very soon queering literary agents and really seeing how we can get this thing started. I'm a big like Vlogbrothers like John and Hank Green fan, and I would love to be John Green in some capacities, you know. And, you know, I think I kind of maybe hinted at this in the very like beginning when I was talking of, you know, I spent a lot of the past few years focused on like advocacy and kind of not focused on writing in a lot of ways. And, you know, I view my writing as advocacy, you know, it's a part of the ways that I try to make the world a better place and like make an impact with my voice and my experiences. And so I would love for like that to continue at the forefront of my writing, but also like see where else that can take me in terms of, you know, making the industry more equitable or, you know, supporting other writers and building communities. You know, like I don't know, there's a lot of things on the horizon and lots of different directions this could go. And I think that, you know, for me personally, as long as writing is at the center of it, I'm good. You know, like I'm, you know, in some ways very open and in other ways like, nope, this is what I'm doing. We are only focusing on this, but there's so much vastness within that like focus that it's quite exciting to see what could come next. So yeah, we'll just have to find out.
Yes. And you know what, when you were saying earlier, like that, you know, these books don't tend to like blow up and be the thing on Book Talk, I am determined that your book, your future books and other books will be that. Like I see that for you. I am so excited for that.
Thank you. Yeah. If y'all aren't following me on TikTok, go follow me on TikTok.
Literally go follow her. Oh my God. Harper's TikTok. Ah.
Because I do post about writing sometimes. I'm going to try to start posting more about writing and, you know, be that author that like teases their book more often. I need y'all to support my disabled fantasy book. Like, you know, I haven't said a lot about it, but there's some stuff on my TikTok that I'm not going to say here. So go look for it. that's my plug.
Amazing plug. I love it.
Yeah. And I will say like one more thing before we wrap up. Like, I think that the world is changing and things are getting better. You know, I know like we talked a little bit about my like specialized school and how there wasn't a whole lot of space for like writing and reading, and that, you know, even when we were doing it, it was kind of like sold to us as something that wasn't really ours, or something that like, it's okay if you don't like this. And I'm like, but is it okay if I like this? Like, you know, and it was like, everyone was always like, oh my God, Harper's a writer. Like, whoa. But like, I think that that has changed a lot. Like I am not super plugged into my school still, but like there have been students who have like published books, like since I've graduated, like people who are writing, and like, maybe there's like a writing class, like, I don't know, you know, but I think that cultures are shifting and we're moving in good directions, and you know, people are standing up for themselves more and more, and we're creating space for people to go after what they want. So you know, some optimism to end us on. You don't get a lot of that from me these days.
Oh my gosh,
I got dark. Sorry.
Bring it back up, Harper.
Yeah, no, yay! Dyslexic kids publishing books. It's great.
Yay, we love it. Oh well, thank you for all of that. I love it. Oh my gosh. I love hearing about your writing journey. It's amazing. You.
It's fun to talk about. I want to talk about it more in all spaces of my life. So yay.
Love it. All right. Well, again, thank you. And thank you all for listening. We'll be seeing you next week.
Yeah. Season finale headed your way. So we will see you then.
Yep. Alrighty. All right. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to The Disabled Standard.
If you enjoy our show, please consider subscribing, reviewing, or sharing with a friend. That really helps us out.
Our podcast music is Cheerful Cinematic Song Without Solo Guitar by Zucker Vilaha, and our logo was designed by Leah Heath.
You can find us on Instagram at Disabled Standard and on Twitter at Disabled Pod.
Again, I'm Shruti Rajkumar.
And I'm Harper McKenzie.
And thank you for listening.